Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. We're going to find ourselves in Romans, the 10th chapter, in just a moment. It is always with deep emotion that I come to present to you a keynote message, if you will, at the beginning of each missions month. I come with a strong sense of honor and respect for this congregation. What a privilege it is for Christine and I to serve this pastor and this people in the area of missions. You are visionary, you are compassionate, sacrificial, and extremely generous, as missions has for many years been an integral part of the DNA of our church. It's also with a deep sense of responsibility that I stand here, hopefully, to represent well the heart of your pastor and leadership of this church, along with 120 lay people on teams who have rolled up their sleeves to love and minister to our missionaries, and to be responsible stewards of your missions dollars. This is the one opportunity each year to stand before you and represent 165 missionary families serving on the field this morning around the world, at home and abroad, that are depending upon our continued passion and faithfulness to the cause of global missions, knowing that the fruit of this month will determine the impact of our missions outreach for the next 12. I also stand before you today with a sense of responsibility to the billions of people, moms and dads and boys and girls and orphans and widows and hungry and destitute, all who have not yet heard that there is salvation in Jesus' name. Most of all, I feel the weight of standing accountable before Christ himself, who gave his life for the 7 billion people on this planet, that I could somehow today be a conduit through which his passion and his heart could impact each one of us. The title of my message and the theme for our missions month and this missions year is So All Can Hear. The work of missions and the truth of salvation stand inseparable through the pages of Scripture. Our passage today is a familiar one, and I want to begin to read it, chapter 10 of Romans, beginning in verse 9. I'll also have it on the screen. Let's all follow along, either in your Bibles or on the screens, if you would. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him, does that sound familiar this morning? Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Verse 12, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. And verse 13, let's say it together. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. I am so grateful today that whether you're young or old or rich or poor or intelligent or simple, whether you are black or white or red or yellow or anything else, whether you live on the streets of Chicago or the slums of Calcutta, the Himalayan Plateau or the heart of Mexico City, Mongolia or Midland, our God has made a way for everyone, everywhere, at all times to be saved. So you can call on his name in French. You can call on his name in English, in Arabic, in Mandarin or Spanish. In fact, you can call on his name in any one of over 7,300 languages known today, an unknown number of dialects. But when you call on the name of the Lord, he understands. He doesn't need a translator or an explanation, but he responds with salvation. That, my friend, is grace that is nothing short of amazing from a God who is nothing less than awesome, who has given us the message that is none other than astounding, that a holy God has made a way for sinful people everywhere to be right with him. Hallelujah. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching or declaring to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? Paul here is articulating a very important sequence of events that lead to someone's confession of Christ as Savior. First, we see that believing must precede confession. Before one can call upon the name of the Lord, he must first believe that he needs a Savior and that Jesus Christ is indeed who he said he was and did exactly what he said he did on their behalf. Secondly, we see that hearing must precede believing. Now, I want to camp on this point for just a few moments. One must hear the gospel before he can believe it, before he can accept it or reject it. This is why three verses later, it's the famous scripture in verse 17. You know it well. It says, faith comes from hearing the message. See, this is a divine message. The scripture is the living word. This is different than a human message. I mean, how many times do we send human messages? You know, we tell our kids every single day as they leave the house, be careful, watch out for deer, don't speed, and don't you dare text. And what they hear is blah, 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 blah. Why? Because it's a human message. But I'm here to say the Word of God is a divine message. And the Bible's clear about this, that when they hear that message, something happens down inside their heart, and faith is birthed that enables them to grab a hold and believe it and call upon the name of the Lord. See, the first two events here in this scripture, calling on the Lord and believing the message, is up to the individual. Nobody else can do it besides them. Then something shifts in the sequence. The next two are up to someone other than the individual. The preaching, the declaration, and the sending. See, a common objection to global missions is found in the statement, I don't understand why we need to send so much money over to Africa or wherever when we have people dying without Christ right here. Good question. The answer has to do with hearing. The Great Commission is an all-encompassing mission. A commitment to proclaim the gospel at home and abroad should never be an either-or proposition. Amen? And that's because we see in the scripture, Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, look at this, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Our responsibility is declaring the gospel is all encompassing. It's certainly not just the ends of the earth. Look at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. We have a responsibility in Midland and the Tri-Cities and Michigan and the USA. That's why we support 29 separate local, state, and U.S. missions endeavors every single month with your Faith Promise dollars. Teen Challenge, campus ministries, inner city works, as far as away as Minneapolis and as close as Saginaw. Open Door here in Midland, Pregnancy Resource Center, intercultural outreaches to the Polish-speaking community or the Muslims in Dearborn, disaster relief, and on and on and on. That's why we invest over $10,000 each year to plant churches in Michigan. And we have dedicated team of people that serve on the U.S. team to ensure that we're being as effective and strategic as possible with your home missions dollars. That's why we have an amazing church with effective ministries in this community, powerful concerts and outreaches, because we are not willing that any should perish without Christ in our neighborhoods, on our campuses, unwed mothers and drug addicts and those in the next cubicle and those across the street. But then why send so many dollars overseas? Why not just spend it all here? Three quick reasons. I have more, but not enough time to share more than three. The first is rather obvious. He told us to. In Acts 1:8, we just looked at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Matthew 28:19 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach to all creation. Matthew 24:14, in the whole world the gospel will be preached as a testimony to all nations. See, he's saying, make sure that you touch people that are in your own backyard and make sure that you touch people all over the world so that all people and all nations may hear so that they can believe and call upon the Lord and be saved. We go into all the world first because he told us to. Secondly, because of demographics. Quite simply, only 5% of the world's 7 billion people live in the United States. Now, it would make simple sense that some of our missions dollars, a vast majority of our missions dollars, in fact, would go to reach some of the other 95% of the world's population. And thirdly, and this is the one that I think is most important, other than he told us to, of course, access is priority. See, the truth is that there are over 4 billion people in our world who currently have no access to the gospel. Close to 7,000 entire people groups that are totally unreached. Now, I didn't say unsaved. There are way more than that unsaved. But unreached means that the message, the declaration of the gospel has not even yet reached them. If hearing must precede belief, then how important is access to the message? See, in many countries of the world, and in our country especially, we have tremendous access to the gospel message. Radio, TV, books, online opportunities, churches of all denominations. In fact, Midland is known as the city of beautiful churches because supporting our population of 42,000 people are 68 churches. Now compare this to over 4 billion people in the world. Oops. Compare this to over 4 billion people in the world who currently have no access to the gospel. They've never surfed the internet. They've never turned off Christian TV or radio. They have never once said no thank you to a friend who's telling them about Christ because none of their friends have even heard that there is a Christ. They've never passed on an altar call because they've never been in a church. In fact, they've never even seen or even heard of a church of any denomination because there are none anywhere accessible to them. And if you understand the heart of what Paul is getting across in our text passage today, is the importance of getting the message to them. That is even a priority that must come before they call on the name of the Lord. Because how can they call on the name of the Lord? Lest they believe, lest they hear. You see, can you imagine putting this in perspective? Living in our country where the only church is a little Nazarene church somewhere in California that you vaguely remember hearing about from a distant relative. No internet. No cell phone, no TV, no radio. The closest believer is an elderly man that's rumored to live somewhere in Abilene, Texas. No Christian influence of any kind. Then you remove that church in California. Then the dude in Abilene dies. And the last bit of light in this entire nation, it's gone. How will you hear? How will anyone hear? Your kids, your grandkids. They don't even have access to the message. These people live and die without hearing once. 4 billion of them in our world today. Without even hearing once the name of Jesus. That's why we send dollars to the ends of the earth. That's why that there are flags plastered and cluttered all over during Missions Month and people banners everywhere, because every single flag you see represents millions of people who don't know him. And it's not just numbers associated with a flag. It's people. Moms, dads, brothers, and sisters. 4 billion who have no access to the gospel. That's why I'm extremely excited today that this past year we've added some very strategic missionaries to our CCC missionary family. And I want to just identify a few. And given what I said about access, I think you'll rejoice with us. One couple, and I'm going to withhold the name for the audio recording. One couple, whoops, I just missed. We must have needed to see this again. There we go. Yeah, there we go. This year added, and they are headed to the Muslims of Somalia, East Africa. There is no AG worker of any kind in Somalia. Another couple is headed to Egypt to work with the Live Dead Initiative with the vision of planting churches among unreached people groups. It's exactly what we've been talking about this morning. Throughout the Arab world, you know, Eurasia alone has over 4,000 unreached people groups. And now our touch will be there. Another couple headed to Tibet. 3 million people in the Himalayan plateau where there is no known church, underground or otherwise. And another couple, an Assemblies of God missionary who married a native Mongolian, who are now headed to Inner Mongolia to proclaim Jesus in a country that is totally unreached. All these missionaries are families that your faith promise dollars have enabled us to add this year, because we are absolutely convinced that if people in Tibet, if people in Somalia or Inner Mongolia or Tunisia or Libya or any other spiritually dark place have any hope of believing, they must hear the message. How then can they call on one who they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone declaring or preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? There's the sequence. Believing must precede confession. Hearing must precede believing. Declaring or preaching must precede hearing. And finally, this is the bottom line of this passage in Paul's mind. Sending must precede declaring. So the most important priority on this list is that workers are sent. That's why Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest field. Because if we don't send, there will be no declaration, and they will not hear, and they will not believe and put their faith in Christ. But if we will send, then we can declare, just like we said today, I will declare your name and will tell the world there is no other. Jesus, we declare your name. The people will then hear, and then they will believe, and then, as the scripture says, they will call upon the name of the Lord. We all want to see that they call upon the name of the Lord, but what Paul is saying here is, step back. If that's what we're after, and I think we are, then we have to understand sending as the bottom line. Folks, you sent 20 of our young people to Haiti this year, who by their actions declared to the people in despair and hopelessness that our God is a God of compassion and notices them in their time of need. You sent 58 young adults and teenagers to the streets of Atlanta to declare that Jesus Christ is the God of hope and healing, and that he still delivers from lifestyles of sin and bondage. You sent a children's pastor to Kenya to declare to the little children and the adults that work with them that Jesus saves and he has a plan for their lives. Last spring, you helped purchase property and a tabernacle for a brand new church to be planted in the Congo, a country steeped in the deception of witchcraft and spiritual darkness. And just 4 weeks ago, you sent me and my wife and 11 others to work alongside the nationals to build the church and to declare to those in darkness that God is the God, the creator of the universe. Jesus Christ is Lord over every power and every principality. We arrived on Wednesday morning, and the church site was basically dirt. We held an evangelistic service on the grounds on Thursday. 150 attended, heard the message, and 27 believed and called upon the name of the Lord. Friday night, the very next night, 300 attended, heard the message, and 58 believed and called upon the name of the Lord. And we continued to build the church while we built the church. And this shot, I couldn't resist showing you this shot because it was an amazing night that night. We were getting ready to have an evangelistic rally, and the worship team began to sing, and they began to play, and they began to declare the name of Jesus. And at the same time they did that, people began to gather from all over. And at the same time that was happening, the workers, some of our folks, were up in the rafters, and you can see the flash of the welder right there. And so we're praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and they're up there. And there's some workers up there that are welding, and there's some of our people up there just worshiping the Lord on the scaffolding, and the people are gathering and worshiping the Lord. And it struck us. We're building the church while he's building the church. How cool is that? And Saturday, more heard and got saved. And after only 4 days, the church was built. Watch this video. Hallelujah. And by Sunday morning, 4 days later, 5 days later, the new pastor held their first service with 164 in attendance, and a brand new church in Pointe Noire was born that will continue to declare the gospel for years to come if Jesus tarries. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? Our passage concludes with this statement. It says, "It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." I love how the message says this. It says, "It's a sight to take your breath away." I want to say very clearly, Christian Center, Celebration Center today, you have beautiful feet. Now, I realize if you're not a foot person, that's kind of gross, but it's the Bible, okay? It's the Bible. You have beautiful feet. Because this congregation is committed to send missionaries, 165 of them to date, that are prepared to declare the message to a people in darkness so that they might hear, believe, and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And it is a sight. It is a reality that, like the message says, takes my breath away. This past year, with God's help, and we understand as we recount what God has done, that we are giving praise to God. We're not patting ourselves on the back, but we're rejoicing in how God has used this congregation. This past year, we finished number 3 in our state in missions giving. In the nation, we jumped 2 years ago from number 42 to this past year, number 26, among all churches in the United States, Assemblies of God churches in the United States. I just thought, wouldn't it be interesting to know of the 25 churches in front of us, what the average attendance was of those churches? You want to know? So I figured it out. The average attendances of the 25 churches in front of us in missions giving, 3,562. That's 4 times our size. Last year you gave 700 and 37,007. Every dollar matters. And $7 in total missions giving. That's up $47,000 or 6% over the year prior. Total world missions giving in the Assemblies of God was just under $200 million. That's a per capita giving in the Assemblies of God of $66.46. You want to know what CCC's per capita giving is? $818.88. That is 12 times the national average. Oh, my Lord. It takes your breath away. The average monthly missionary offering jumped last year from $7,745 2 years ago to last year, $9,297. Jumped again last year from $9,297 to over $10,223 every month given to a missionary guest. CCC, you have beautiful feet. Now let me bring this message toward a conclusion. Put on your thinking caps for a moment, because I want to challenge all of our thinking. While CCC continues to be extremely strong in our missions giving, the question we're facing this year is, will we continue to be most strategic in our missions giving? Let me explain. Let me talk to you about faith promises. You understand, most of you, unless you're new, 100% of your faith promise dollars goes out the door. Now, if you're new here, you need to understand that. Not one penny of your faith promise goes to buy a flag or a banner or a lunch ticket or anything. 100% of your faith promise dollars go out the door to what you designate those faith promise dollars to, our missionaries on the field. We do that because the general fund provides a healthy amount for missions, and out of that we take a piece that we cover all of our administration fees in, all of our administration costs, okay? So 100% goes out the door. Now, faith promises have not been as strong as our overall missions cash flow. Listen carefully. Last year, we set our budget at 87% of the total pledge. We take your pledges, and then we set our budget to go out the door based on 87%. Here's the history. In 2009 and 2010, 91% came in. In 2010 and 11 mission year, 93% came in. This year, to date, as of the end of September, we have 90%. Now, let me say, there is no pastor on the face of the planet that would complain about 90%, nor would I. Nobody complains about 90%, for crying out loud. I kind of think about our monthly missions prayer nights. And, you know, we have roughly between 70 and 100 people that show up every time, every month. We have a global prayer initiative. And I remember there was one night when we had a missionary, and we were out afterwards, and I said, I'm just really bummed out. He goes, what's the matter? I said, we only had 90 people here tonight. And he looked at me, I'll never forget what he said. He looked me right in the eye, and he says, you're crazy. So what are you talking about? You only had 90 people, and you do this every month. So there'd be pastors that would kill for 20 people to show up for one prayer meeting. But we do have a blast. And I'll tell you, they're amazing. If you've not come to one, come to one. We have one after we have the Monday following every missionary. We have one. Salvations. We hear testimony. I got a file. Physical healings. Visas going through. Supernatural protection. Spirit promptings that are prompting us how to pray for our missionaries around the world. The missionaries are blown away. They're amazed. They love it. But whether it's prayer or whether it's giving, remember, our goal is not to be better than anybody else. Our goal is to do the best we can as God enables us, just to be obedient to what God is asking us to do. That's a great place to say amen. Even though the cash is up, overall missions giving, through the roof. Missionary offerings, through the roof. There's a trend I want to point out to you. As the missions cash flow has been increasing, the faith promise, ever so little, has been decreasing. Though attendance is up, the number of pledging units this past year decreased by 11%. Last year, the number that did not renew their faith promise was twice as many as those who came on board new. We missed the budget 5 out of the last 6 months. We added 5 new missionaries this past year, but because of the declining faith promise, we've not been able to keep up with attrition, people going off the field. So we began this missions year with 168 missionaries. We're currently at 165 with a net loss of 3. Now, again, let me be clear. What church in their right mind would feel bad about 165 missionaries for crying out loud? But I don't just want to be better than somebody. I want to be the best and the most strategic that we can be. So why might this be, and why is this important? See, some may not realize the importance of the faith promise. As long as they're giving to missions, it's like, what matters whether it's faith promise or a missionary offering? This may result in less faith promise, but more cash to the missionary guests or projects, thinking, well, it's all missions. Remember, as you get excited about the 1 of 9 that you will hear in any given particular year, stand in this pulpit, their monthly support and the monthly support of 164 others just like them is totally dependent upon the health of the faith promise. And there's no missionary that won't attest to that. There's no missionary who won't stand here and say, in fact, many of them do, appreciate the offering, but it's the faith promise that is the meat and potatoes, it's the bread and butter, it's what keeps us on the field. Next Sunday at lunchtime, you're going to hear students from all around our state stand up and say how Chi Alpha changed their life. And every one of them will tell you, thank you, because it's your faith promise that provided this ministry. The main thing in our missions giving is the faith promise. Simple as that. The secondary thing is the missionary cash offerings or projects. Now, let me just give you, before we close, a hypothetical situation. Let's say that your faith promise is $10 a month. That's roughly $100 that in missions offering. So it would equal about $1,300 a year in missions giving. You give $10 a month. Now, I know that's $1,320 if you mathematicians that are out there. Okay, but you give $100 roughly on average to a missionary when they come as guests. You make a $10 faith promise. $1,300 a year. Now, a different scenario. Let's say your faith promise was $50 a month, and you give roughly $58 in missionary offerings each month. You're still giving $1,300 a year. I'm not standing before you today and say, we just need more money. We need more money. No, I'm trying to bring instruction to the body to understand the importance of a strong faith promise. You see, the difference between those two scenarios is that the faith promise in the bottom scenario is weighted more. Does that make sense? So, Pastor Pat, are you telling us to give less in missionary offerings? I'm telling you that if you want your missions program to be as healthy and as strategic as possible, do your best with the faith promise. And then, as always, we continue to ask the Lord when every missionary guest is here, what would you have me to do? But do your best with the faith promise. Why is that such a big deal? Why does a stronger faith promise position us to be more strategic? I'm glad you asked. Because the faith promise determines the missionaries new that we can bring on. The new missionaries determines how we can strategically expand our touch to those who haven't heard. Remember, the bottom line of Paul's point and our text is the need for workers to be sent. Amen? Then they can declare, then the people will hear and believe and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Pastor Leon, would you come? When it comes to how CCC adds new missionaries, I've got to tell you a bit of the backstory. Because most people have no clue. How in the world do we add somebody? I just showed you four that we added this past year. How does these things happen? Most of you know we have seven regional teams with 120 people total, blessing and praying for our missionaries and reading their newsletters and ministering to them and helping them by sending them some cash gifts for their projects. It's happening all the time. One of the roles of our missions team is to chart the course and strategy of the future expansion of CCC's missionary outreach into their particular region. They do that by prayerfully sifting through a host of potential new missionaries that we could participate in sending. At any given time, and I went back before this message and counted them, at any given time, we have over 100 potential new missionaries on our list saying, pick me, pick me. I want to go. I want to tell. Pick me. 100 of them, folks. 20 or so on each region's list. And these team members review the newsletters, they read the promotional materials, they watch the DVDs, they meet with these guests, and they pray, and they consider the strategy of each one. And then each region comes up with a prioritized short list of 3 to 5 who we feel prayerfully are the most strategic people that if we were to add them, it would most strategically expand our touch into that area of the world. So right now, there's between 20 and 35 that we have sifted down from 100 that are on a short list that are most strategic, that we are waiting for the faith promise dollars to come. It's like horses at the starting gate. 35 of them waiting to go declare. I feel like I'm in Lamaze class. Whoops. Waiting so that when new faith promise dollars come, we can call them and say, we're on board. Go declare. We're on board. Go tell the message so that they can hear. And whoosh, off they go. Now, some are already there, and we're just tapping into that, you see. How then can they call on one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in one in whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? I know we're not supposed to add to the scripture, but it makes me want to add one more line, verse 15b. And how are they sent? Right? Isn't that a valid question? So then tell me, how are they sent? At CCC, it's with your faith promise dollars. That's how they're sent. May 2013 be the year that we send someone to preach Christ to those in Madagascar who have never heard. May this be the year that we send someone to declare the gospel to those in Rwanda so that they will believe. May this be the year that we send someone to those in the country of Turkey so that they will call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Understand, right now I took a look over these 35. We're poised and we're ready to send someone to Madagascar, Rwanda, Malawi, North Korea, Turkey, Moldova, Northern Nepal, Scotland, New Inner City Ministries in Detroit and Denver, Pioneer Ministries to unreached people groups and church planters and ministries to the homeless and street kids in the starting gate. Lord, we're asking you to use CCC to help send someone to just one more of the 406 unreached people groups in Europe and Latin America, to just one more of the 858 unreached people groups that are living and dying today on the continent of Africa. This year, let CCC send someone to just one more of the 5,500 unreached people groups scattered throughout Asia and Eurasia. Use us this year, Lord, to dispatch messengers to a few more of the 600 million Buddhists, a few more of the 1 billion Hindus, 1.5 billion Muslims, not so that we can feel good about ourselves, not so that our program can get bigger, but so that soon and very soon, all can hear. All can hear. Then, as this army of messengers scale the Himalayan mountains to bring the good news, trek the dusty roads of Africa on a hot afternoon, walk the streets of Detroit in the middle of the night, and press through the jungles of Central and South America so somebody can hear the message and call upon the Lord and be saved? May we call their feet beautiful. And may the thought of our participation in feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and rescuing the enslaved and restoring the broken and declaring the life-saving message of Jesus Christ in places where the gospel has never been declared, may the thought of it take our breath away. Would you stand? Would you just lift your hands and let's just begin to pray? Probably every single person in the sound of my voice in this sanctuary today, in this auditorium, can see at least one flag, at least one person in front of you. Let's just begin to pray. Oh, holy God, we need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. Lord, this thing is already way bigger than us. We could never do an iota of this that we see and we report today. Oh God, we know that it's only as you are enabling us. It's only as you are enabling us, Lord, do we do anything of substance for the kingdom of God. God, we need you, Lord. We stand today in the gap between heaven and hell, Lord. God, we stand at the beginning of this missions month today, Lord. Oh God, we need the Holy Spirit. We need your heart for the billions, oh God, with no access. Lord, we need your heart, oh God. Fill us with a sense of your passion even now. Fill us with a sense, oh God, of your heart for the lost. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, would you right now just invite the Holy Spirit to touch you right now? We need Him. Let's sing it. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, we need you, Lord. Oh, how we need you. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, Lord, we need you, Lord. One more time, sing it. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, how we need you, Lord.
Oh, how I need you.
Oh, Jesus.
Come, Holy Spirit. We need you.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, I thank you for this amazing body of believers. Lord, as the psalmist declared, my boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. I thank you, Lord, for the heart of this pastor and this people, and that you have built one of the greatest missionary programs in this country. Lord, we don't take that lightly, but we know it is because of you and because of your favor and your blessing. Oh, God, help us to refuse to let go of your heart for the lost. Help us refuse to even loosen our grip. Let us never become prideful, satisfied, or complacent while there are still so many who have yet to hear. Now, Holy Spirit, speaks to us this month as we seek you concerning our part as young adults and singles and couples and families in sending your messengers to the places you have called them. Holy Spirit, over the next 3 weeks, would you talk to us about praying for missions, about serving in missions, about giving to missions, and even going if you should so call? We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Before you leave, let me just mention that in the pews in front of you, there are cards. And these cards are to facilitate your getting involved in any one of seven teams and in other areas in the missions ministry. They'll be in the pews next couple of weeks. Take one with you. Drop it in an offering. Drop it off in the office. Whatever you want to do, we want to try to connect you. On your way out today, you'll be given a missions magazine that'll give you some more details about our fellowship and its missions endeavors. God bless you. Thank you for coming.